Hi, folks. Nathan Pierce here with Family Protection Ministries. We are looking today at some topics surrounding the idea of preparing for battle. And we're going to be looking a little bit at some of the things that Family Protection Ministries is doing, has done in the past regarding preparing for legislative battles, and kind of showing you a little behind the scenes of some of the ways that we prepare for legislation that comes up on a yearly basis. And we do a lot of research. We do a lot of making sure that we're all prepared for writing letters based on that research, being able to get those letters distributed, and making sure that we are prepared for doing our searches and analyzing legislation ahead of the game. So that's what we're going to be talking about today in our podcast, and giving you sort of a behind-the-scenes look at how the legislative process works also in terms of are looking at legislation and how that works, and hope that it can be helpful to you in not only understanding how you can play a part in getting active in advocating for homeschool freedom, but also help you just understand a little bit more of where your money goes when you're donating to the work that we do here at Family Protection Ministries, because year round we're constantly having to prepare for those battles or respond in real time to what's going on in the California state legislature. So even today, as the California legislature is on break, we are working on legislation and doing research to prepare for when they come back. So that's what we've got today. So let's get into it. Welcome to the Frontline with FPM, where we talk about California politics, homeschool freedom, parental rights, and the family. I'm your host, Nathan Pierce, and thanks for joining us today. Let's jump right in and see what's going on here on the Frontline. So as we get started, I want to read a scripture and talk about this verse a little bit. The scripture is from Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. And this is, there's two parts to this that I want to talk about. The first is making the horse ready. In Bible times, the horse was central to waging war. And you can't just go when you realize that there's a battle needing to be fought and go out and go find a horse and hope he's in good health and ready to go run and charge into battle. No, you have to make sure that he is healthy, make sure that he is well cared for, make sure that he is trained for war. And just like people have to train for doing things, the horses had to. And so this, when David used his horses for battle, when he had chariots that he prepared, there's a number of verses throughout scripture that talk about how preparing chariots, preparing horses for battle was a thing that kings did, and that warriors needed to have those ready to go. And so when Solomon in Proverbs, he's talking here about making the horse ready, there's all this idea of preparing them and making sure that throughout the horse's life he's cared for and trained. There's more than just a in this moment of time getting ready for the battle at hand, starting that today to get ready for the battle tomorrow. That's not the idea here. The idea is that it's a much longer process, a more significant amount of effort that's going in over time to making sure that these horses, these chariots, are ready for battle. And there's so much that had to be done to make that happen. And I think that translates into what we look at today in terms of battles, whether we're talking about wars that are in the news that you hear about. Those things have a lot of training and preparation that goes into before battle. The same happens with our work here in Sacramento on legislative battles. We have a lot of work to do behind the scenes to get ready for the battles when they come. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. But the second part of this I want to get into is the part about where the victory comes from. The victory belongs to the Lord, it says here in Proverbs 21. And that's something we need to not forget. We need to remember, like in Joshua 3, where God is telling the children of Israel to cross over the flooded Jordan River, and enter the promised land. But God had been working 17 miles upstream to stop up those waters so that it would be a dry riverbed when they got their feet to the edge of that water, that they could cross over on dry land. God was in that victory of being able to cross over into the dry, into the promised land on dry ground. So that being the case, then it's the same God that we serve today to do what he calls us to do, and he prepares the way for us. Even though we are working hard and diligently to prepare for battle, for the battles that God gives to us, he is also working behind the scenes to prepare not only us, but other things in whether there are things that we know about or things that we don't know about. Sort of like God stopping up the waters in Joshua chapter 3, where the children of Israel had no idea God had been doing that upstream ahead of time, but God was. He was working upstream. And as God always works 17 miles upstream, we know we can count on him. The victory does belong to God because ultimately he does give us the victory. But in the context of that, he still calls us to take action. Just like he told Joshua to take action, he told the priests to take action, and he told the children of Israel to take action. Each one had their own specific and unique role. And we have that same thing today. We have roles in how we need to take action in the bigger battle that's going on in our culture today. So as we look at these things, these behind-the-scenes peeks at what we do to get ready for the battles, keep in mind what God would have you to do, and be praying for us as we prepare for battle so that we can be more and more ready each day for the next battle that God has for us to fight in terms of legislative battles. So again, Proverbs 21, verse 31, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. And so we have a calling, we have a job to do to be ready, be getting ready for that battle, but we also have that confirmation, that assurance that victory does belong to the Lord. Whatever that victory looks like, God knows what it's going to look like, and he wants us to be part of that. He wants to engage us in fighting in the battles that he has set before us to do. Just like it says in Ephesians, he's created works for us to do. And he's wanting us to participate, just like he asked the children of Israel and the Levites and Joshua to take part in crossing over that Jordan and taking over Jericho and entering the promised land. He has work for us to do today because we have our own battles that we're fighting that God has placed before us to take on and to engage in. So let's work together here. So we're going to get into some overviews today of some of the projects that we do behind the scenes to get ready for the next year. I want to start with talking a little bit about searches. So we use various search mechanisms to help us find bills that are problematic. And one of those is we use a service called StateNet to help us find bills. We use a couple of other search services as well. Each one has its own unique abilities, and each one has its own way of organizing legislation and its own way of searching. I'll use StateNet as an example. We use a set of search strings. They're sort of old school Boolean logic search strings that we use to look for certain words that show up in legislation. And so you might think, well, that's pretty basic, isn't it? Well, we have to constantly be monitoring the hearings at the state capitol. We listen through legislative hearings at the state capitol, whether I'm in person there in committee hearings or floor sessions, or whether we're listening to them online on recordings, or sometimes going through the transcripts of these hearings. But it's hours and hours of these hearings. Sometimes it's 50 plus hours per week of hearings, whether that's a combination of floor sessions and committee sessions, or sometimes it's certain times of the year, you might have 40 hours of floor session to listen to every week. So it just depends on what's going on in the legislature. There's a great variation throughout the year. So when it comes to these search strings, we constantly have to listen so that we can find changes in terminology as language evolves, as legislators change their terminology. We have to change and update our search terminology to make sure that we're finding the bills that would impact us as families, as homeschoolers, as private educators, as people that care about a parent's ability to to control the education and upbringing of their children. Now, this is something that because it's constantly changing, we're constantly having to be aware of these updates. So it's a constantly moving target, and we have to constantly update our search strings. We have to not only update our search strings with what we hear in committee hearings and floor sessions, we also have to be monitoring what's going on sort of in the political realm where people are running for office, because a lot of times in discussions, whether it's in debates, political debates, as they're arguing about different topics and trying to get elected for office, you might have multiple candidates trying to get elected for office, and they argue about different things, and they might use new terminology in those debates. There might be new terminology that comes out in news stories. And so we're constantly monitoring news, education news, legislative news that has to do with parental rights, the family, and other types of legislation that impacts our freedoms as parents, families, educators. We have to be on top of those kinds of wording changes so that we can update our search strings, because if we don't update them, we can miss bills. And that has happened before, where we miss something with the initial introduction of a bill. And then we realize later, when we hear that bill being discussed in a committee hearing later on, that, hey, wait a second, this sounds like it's something that could be damaging to families or parental rights or our education freedoms here in California, but it didn't show up because none of the wording in it actually is wording that we've ever heard before describing education or describing parents teaching their kids or describing Christian education or things like this. And so we have to constantly be updating our terminology and make sure that we're staying on top of that. One example of this a couple of years ago was when they changed terminology from at risk, which there's a whole set of what are called at risk factors. And when the Department of Social Services looks at children, they sort of label them, they categorize kids as being either at a higher risk or not as much of a risk of being at risk of being abused or neglected in some way. And so there's these at-risk factors. There's factors that play into what they will consider to be something that makes them more likely to be in danger of something. And so they list out these at-risk factors. And sometimes these at-risk factors include things like one parent or homeless or low income family, or perhaps in the past, there has been homeschooling, or homeschooled has been one of those at-risk factors. A couple of years ago, though, they changed the terminology from at-risk to at-promise. So it changed that term, at-risk, to at-promise, and it started changing it all over in the code, but they started introducing new bills first that only used the term at-promise. And so we started seeing legislation pop up in committee hearings that used this new term that we had never heard before, and yet it was referring to a concept that we'd heard of before. It's referring to at risk, but the terminology being used is completely different, and so it didn't show up in our search strings. So that's an example of something we have to stay on top of so that we can make sure that we're finding the bills that are dangerous to families. Now, you might think, well, what, can't you just listen to every hearing and read every bill that gets introduced? Well, the problem with that is that there's about 3,000 bills that get introduced every year. And most of them get amended 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And if each one of those bills is several pages or several to 20, 30, 100 pages long, we really have to use technology to be able to not only search the bills the first time when they're first introduced, all 3,000 bills, but also search all the amended versions. Because sometimes an amended version is a gut and amend version, in which case a gut and amend bill is where they take a bill that talked about fish hatcheries and turn it into a bill that redefines marriage. That's a real life example of what happened a few years ago when a legislator, Mr. Mark Leno, had a bill that had to do with fish hatcheries and gutted everything that was in the bill out of it and replaced it with a redefinition of marriage. So that's an example of how a bill completely changes from one topic to another topic in the middle of the legislative process. And so we have to be aware of everything that's going on throughout the legislative process, and we have to use technology to help us search on what just happened in the last 24 hours so that we're aware of all the changes and how they could impact our single family, our individual family, and the other families in the state because of some change that happened in the last 24 hours. And that happens throughout the legislative process. We have in California a full-time legislature, which most states don't have that. But we are extremely active in our bill making here in California. And so our legislators, all 120 of them, are writing lots of bills, and they change very fast, and they move through, in some cases, very rapidly. And so we have to be on top of everything as quick as possible so that we can be aware of any changes, so that we can be ready to oppose something that pops up. If it pops up on Monday as a basic bill that doesn't seem to impact us at all, but then on Wednesday it gets amended to something completely different, we have to be ready to oppose that bill in committee on Thursday. And that means evaluating the bill, analyzing it, researching the legislative background, and making sure that we understand how the code would actually change and how that would impact families, so that we can then write arguments to oppose that bill and be ready to present those arguments in a committee hearing the following day, and have letters that are submitted as well to back up what we're saying. We need also research to be done on these projects. We need research behind the scenes ahead of the game. And that's one of the other areas that we do background work to prepare for battle, is doing research and creating what we call research summaries. You may have seen research summaries on our website before, but we have research summaries on a wide range of topics, whether it's early childhood education, research summaries on why implementing certain laws regarding early childhood education is not good for California children. And so we have done a considerable amount of research over the years on this topic of early childhood education, and we've put those into summaries, and we have a 6-page research summary document so that we can provide details of how maybe a new bill comes up that mandates kindergarten or lowers the compulsory attendance age in California. And we want to have research that backs up our position that that's not a good thing. And so we bring out that 6-page document. We might deliver that 6-page document to the legislature in preparation for a hearing or a vote on a bill. But we also want to make sure that we are getting more condensed or more simplified versions of that, so that a legislator or a staff member can look at a 1-page document. They really like 1-page documents because if they get a whole bunch of different research papers, they're not likely to read all of them. They're much more likely to read a 1-page document, and maybe we put citations on there for more extensive research, but we give them simple, easy to read 1-page documents that give them research and arguments opposing a bill, so that then they can use that in committee themselves to back up a position of, no, this is not a good idea, and here's some research on it. And I have found that to be extremely effective. Many of our research summaries and our letters that reference research have ended up in committee analyses over the years. Sometimes committee staffers that are writing an analysis on a bill will actually call my office and say, hey, can you submit a letter on this? We really need your research on this, and we want you to help us write our analysis on this bill. So whether they're a Republican or a Democrat legislator that's working on this, we've had both sides ask us for help writing an analysis because they know we do good work on our research. And that's something that takes a lot of time. So we have to have the resources in order to do that research behind the scenes before a battle even comes up. Because once the battle hits, we need that research to be done already. We need it to be ready to use. And so I would appreciate your prayers for that as we are working on research today on areas of regulation on sort of the background of charter school regulations throughout the history of the charter school movement, as well as the history of the compulsory education laws in the state of California. These are areas that we've been asked for research by legislators, and so we're trying to do that between our other work on legislation and speaking at events and informing people about how they can get engaged in advocacy. We need to get this research underway as well, so we're trying to make sure that that gets done. So please be praying for us, and if you can today, donate towards this cause, because it's an important one for the success of our fighting for homeschool freedom for future battles. So be praying for us and support our work, because it's important for the success and survival of the homeschool movement in the state of California and across the country. So that's it for today. More next time. See you later. Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Frontline with FPM. For more information about the topics we discuss here, check out Family Protection Ministries at fpmca.org and subscribe to our channel.